Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. I am Chief Langley, and this evening, it is April 18th, 2015, and tonight, we're going to deal with misconceptions of colonial history. Times, and most times, I deal with Native American slavery. I'm a descendant of that. But slavery itself, there's a lot of misconceptions. And as a historian that study history from a forensic point of view, I deal with a lot of information that has been suppressed and omitted. So I make it my duty to tell you the truth of history. Rarely do you find in the history books about European slavery. And for 175 years in this country, tens of thousands of British convicts were sent here as slaves, but they called them indentured servants. Thousands. So Scottish and Irish slavery ended around 1838, 1839. But you don't get to hear anything about that. Things are crucial. But when you go and look into the archives, in the archives of Maryland and Virginia, you find them. These things are crucial and key. Rarely do you hear about the free Africans. And the free Africans who were living in Britain 200 years prior to the American slave trade. But when you go and look at the immigration records, just because they have Christian names, don't assume they're all a European. Many Africans came as indentured servants. But you don't get to hear about that. But what they will give you is the full description of slavery, and all they show you is Africans. I have to question that. And I have to question, were all the slaves that came into this country African? When you study it from a Portuguese point of view, in a South African point of view, the answer would be no. They came from the origin of Africa, but that's not where they originated from. The Portuguese were shipping Indonesians, Malaysians, Chinese, all came down to South Africa to the camp of Malay, because that was like the Wall Street of slave trading in those days, along with many other South Asian people. People from the Solomon Islands went there. Fuji went there. Even some Polynesians. These things are crucial. Well, you say, well, Chief Langley, where do you get this information? From searching and researching the African slave trade before it became the transatlantic and the middle passage. So those slaves that are coming through the transatlantic, they are not all African. Many of them are. A lot of them are not. You got Indonesian. You got Chinese. You got Solomon Islands. You got Fijians. You got Polynesians. And you got many other South Asians, your Pakistanis, your Bangladeshis, as they are known today, people from India. These things are crucial, but they don't tell you that. But tonight I'm telling you, because we're going to deal with the misconception of colonial history, and that is what I am giving you tonight. And everything that I tell you, you can go to the archives and fact check it. These things are crucial and they're very important. Key with understanding colonial history is understanding the laws and the laws within these provinces or these parishes or these colonies where they apply. Because many of the colonies in the United States of America, or the 13 colonies, were penal colonies. And it was British penitentiary plantations, a better word to say it. These things are crucial. And many of your Africans who came into this country as slaves, they didn't come on the ordinary slave ship. They came on convict ships. Ooh, chief, I never heard of that. Go and check the records. So if you evaluate this and research it well, you will find that on some of the ships coming over, the people wasn't chained down. Didn't have shackles on their feet or bars around their neck. But those that came on the convict ships had it, because they were prisoners of war, from warring tribes. But real under the perception, no Africans engage in slave trade. But I tell you what, when you study it from an African perspective, it is totally, because they sent many of their people over here. These things are very important. Most of the African slaves that came, your cotton growers, your rice growers, these things are crucial. Egyptian cotton is one of the finest cottons to come out of Africa. But nobody talks about the Egyptian slave owners that were in Edgefield, South Carolina in the 1700s. So a lot of African Americans do descend from Egyptians. What they need to do is study their genealogy of these certain colonies where these Egyptians were. These things are crucial. So tonight, we're going to deal with the misconceptions of colonial history. The first slaves, your Native American slaves, that slavery lasted nearly the 250 years before the first transatlantic slave came into this country. But what are we going to do right now? We're going to talk about the Americas from the Spanish perspective, because the Spanish brought African along with them, the Doors or whatever you want to call them, slave soldiers. They were on the Soto raids. I've read in the archives where some 600 Africans came along with him. These things are crucial. So the American perspective would tell you that they started with the British. I'm sorry. Colonization part of the world begin with the Spanish and then the French. See, you have to study the Spanish history, because it's a little different than the American history, because the American history tried to omit everything that predated it in this country, which throws you off. You go look at South Carolina, St. Helena, Paris Island, those places were established by the Spanish. and some 300 African slaves left the plantation and went to live among the natives. So you got to understand these things. You got to understand pre-Columbian. What do they mean by pre-Columbian? Well, the only slaves I've seen pre-Columbian are the one that came in with the Spanish. So really, Columbus wasn't first. Tell you he was first, but when you go look in the archives and look in the records, the Spanish records, they were traveling back and forth here all the time. They don't tell you that. So tonight, that's why we're dealing with the misconception of colonial times. They don't want to tell you that in 1682, and I always say it, people who were not in enmity with the government would be slaves. So, from a forensic standpoint, in a genealogical standpoint, Africans who were free remained African. Indian who were free remained Indian. Those who we were enslaved became Negro. Because at that time, Negro had nothing to do with color. It had to do with the legal construct of being a slave. These things you have to understand because they're crucial and it's very important. And if you want to find anything under Native Americans in the 16th, 17th, 1800s, you have to look under the Negro laws because those that were enslaved, that's where you will find them. Now, many people have gone on to say, well, all the brown-skinned people in America, no, they're not. We're not going to go there with that. Mm-mm. You had African ships. They didn't come in the numbers, maybe 400,000 or 500,000. Then you had another 250,000. That came here free as indentured. But they don't tell you about that. You go look in the British archives and look into those import records and see who's on those ships. These things are crucial. So now you got to understand the difference between America, the 13 colonies, and the Americas. 4 million people went to the Americas. They didn't go. They didn't come to the 13 colonies. That is your difference. In the tracking of people back and forth from mainland Carolinas down to the Caribbean, that was a domestic slave trade. So you won't find that on any map. Domestic. It's local. So they're trading people back and forth. Four or five Indian slaves for one Negro. The Negro African. And you got to understand, when you research the records, why are they saying African Negro? Why use a double? Because that Negro at that time is dealing with that slave. And the American Negro at that time, you're talking about American Indian. I'm in the 1600s, 1700s time frames now. Got to understand this. It's crucial. South Carolina, listen to me carefully, has some of the best records any other colony. Because you got to understand, in the 1600s, in the 1500s, there was no Alabama. Not known as Alabama. There was no Tennessee, not known as Tennessee today. There were no Mississippi. You got to deal with the Carolinas. Because the Carolina stretch from the Atlantic Ocean to the Gulf of Mississippi. So you got to look at these old maps. If you want to become an effective family historian, a genealogist, you have to learn history from a forensic perspective. And the more you learn and the more you study maps and timelines and the laws, you are able to find your people. But the misconception is, well, your people in slavery, you never can find it. That is not true. If you study breeding aspect of slavery, because people were the human resource of that day and the gross national product of that day, they kept an account. They weren't doing all that hanging and killing like they show you on TV, because there were laws to prevent it, even the laws from the King and Queen of England. Slaves cost. But after 1865, going into Reconstruction and Jim Crow year, that's where you got the highest hanging and murdering of colored, African, Indian people. You got to do is go read the archives. These things are crucial. So the question I ask, during Reconstruction, were they trying to reconstruct? Because when you want to find colored or Indian slave owners or free African slave owners, you don't find them in the regular census. You find them in the absentee. There are many a times I've been through the records and I've found folks that are white on the census, but when I go look at their property deeds, they are colored and Negro or Indian. These things are crucial, people. So that's why tonight we're dealing with colonial misconceptions. Because you got to go dig in the archives and get out of the history books. Because most history books are written by us. They're written by the victor. If you understand propaganda and the media, because that's all it was at that time, they can make you love who they want and hate who they want. Come in raiding native villages, calling people savages, and in your history book, you will accept it because how it is written. You got to come up out of that today. And my grandmother gave me this task and told me, you are carrying the family light. You are my little chief now. You, baby. And when you tell the story, you don't sugarcoat it. You tell it straight. So I'm on this task for my mama, my grandmother that raised me from 3 days old. Mama didn't leave me any money. My mama left me a legacy. And I cherish it, because by continuing to learn and research, I keep my mama alive. I keep my father alive, my great-grandparents alive, and so forth and so on. So I am here tonight telling you about the misconception of colonial history. You got to understand racial construct. There is psychological racism. There is physical racism. There is social racism. So when you deal with these social constructs, and these people are slaves, and they have these products of people, I am telling you, they counted them and created different races. So if you want a full-blood Negro, he's going to cost a certain amount. You want a half-breed, he's going to cost a certain amount. You want slaves that's mixed with African and Indian? They're going to cost a certain amount. You want slaves that's mixed with African, Indian, and European? They're going to cost a certain amount. This is what they did in the breeding process. So once you study and analyze slave breeding, you understand what is when it comes to identifying the people. And some of these are your people. These things are crucial. Most people just want to generalize. You have to dig into the history. I spent 15 years of my life as a whole digging into the colonial archives, searching because of what my family told me. I wanted to find it, and I found it. They don't want to write about these things. Whoa, there's one coming that's going to write. So as a genealogist, I deal with things that are omitted, that are suppressed. And they created laws for hundreds of years not to write about these things. For hundreds of years. Almost 300 years. There's laws in Virginia, Maryland, South Carolina. White people couldn't marry black people. White people couldn't marry Indians. That's why I question now when I hear a lot of them tell me about their ancestors in the 1700s or 1750 and 1760. When it was a law that said you would go to jail for marrying an Indian. White folks respect the law more than anybody else. In those days, they created the law. Now, they may not get no time, but they believe in enforcing those laws that they created. So how you descend? Many a times when you go and check the 1800 and the 1700 records, they're telling you they descend from an unknown Indian woman. How is she unknown if you know who the father? But you don't know who the mother? We got to examine this history. It's not adding up here. You got to understand. A lot of the colonial history has been fabricated. That's why there's a lot of misconception. That's why a lot of history has been suppressed. They don't want to reveal these things. Not only do you go into the archives and get information, you need to start digging, especially for the so-called African-American people. Listen to me carefully when I tell you this. If you descend from the deep south, start looking into the AME church records and the CME church records and the Methodist church records and look into the Methodists of the South. If you think you have Indian in your family, a Native in your family, those are the church archives you need to look into. Look at all the missions of John Wesley, the missions of Francis Asbury. But see, they will give you and I grew up in the AME, but I knew my history because my grandmother told it to me. See? Even Richard Allen, mother was Native, according to what I've read. He never traveled south. But they give him credit for finding the AME church. But I question that because the AME Zion was in existence long before the AME Church of America. So what's going on with that history? misconception. I give the brother due. Didn't create the AME church. The AME Zion church was already in existence. Now, you want to get technical with me about it? Go and read the history of it and see what kind of coup was going on in New York during that time with Richard Allen and some of his own disciples against the Zion AME church. You better read this history because it tells you who your people are. Many of these churches down in the South, especially in Alabama, Uche Chapel, Uche this. But you think all of the people are gone. Let me explain something to you. All Native American people didn't die out from diseases. They got written out of history by reclassifying them. And understand this history. Because Christianity did more to convert Native people into colored than anything else. You got to understand this. But you would never understand it if you don't take the time to go research the church records. Many a times you get a perception the Indians look like people on TV. I'm sorry. That may not be it. That's some of it. Many of the Creeks and Uches you're looking for, or Cherokees you're looking for, look like you. So you need to deal with now. Let's talk about the admixture of people, because that come from slave breeding. And these people knew who they are. Everybody up to 1950 knew who they were. Black is a color, is not a necessity. Mulatto and musty are not color. They are social constructs of races. Musty coming by means of African and Indian, sometime African and Indian and European, and most of the time mulatto comes by means of Indian and European, as well as Indian and African, as well as Indian, African, and European. But if you don't study the history of these things, you don't know this. So you got to dig deep and start looking in the court records of those times and see the number of people who was going to court so they wouldn't get trapped into slavery, because slavery follows the condition of the mother. Those were the colonial laws. You need to understand, and I've said this before, and I'm going to elaborate on it again, the mulatto in South Carolina is not the same mulatto in Virginia according to the law. Well, Chief, what do you mean by that? What do I mean by that? Because the mulatto in South Carolina, according to the law, says that's an English woman and a Negro man or an African man. So those that send from the South that's dealing with the mulatto, you dealing with a white woman and an African or Negro man. So don't be looking for no white plantation father. May not be the case according to the law. When you look at it from a Virginia perspective, Virginia and Maryland, now you dealing with a Negro or African woman and an English man. Totally different. So those folks in Virginia and Maryland, yes, they descend from the white father. But those down in South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, according to that law, you descend from the Negro, and then the white woman is the ancestor that you're looking for. Well, Chief, I don't know what you need to understand, because they created laws. And at that time, people were very obedient of the laws. See, I'm going to break it down to you tonight. We're going to deal with the misconception. Because many of you try to go back and study genealogy and don't know the laws. And there are a lot of genealogists out there that don't know it either or refuse to acknowledge it. That's why I don't join any major genealogy society. For what? What I teach don't apply to them. See, you got to be careful who invites you to the table. Because many a time when they invite you to the table, they put a muscle on your mouth. Harvard won't let you teach that. Yale won't let you teach that. But it's the truth. Well, no, that's not part of our program. The same thing with many of these genealogical societies. So I sat down with my little tribal council and my family. We created our own. Followed the same line of all of their protocol. Structure the way they structure. But create your own type of research within the guidelines of evidence. Explain. Follow the protocol. But your method is your method. And that's what we've done. Our organization, genealogy organization, is an educational trust that is chartered. I don't play around with these things are important. I'm not going to be bought. I'm not going to come over and you put me on the board over here, then I got to get quiet with this history. Because you done gave me a little position, that's not going to happen. You got my own, I roll solo. And we'll keep using social media to put it out. And many of them out there trying to attack me personally. Well, you go ahead and do that, because you're getting nowhere with it. So you can create, go on my Facebook page, take my picture, create these false accounts. You're going to mess around, and I'm going to send the sheriff to your door. These things are crucial. So this is the nonsense that go on sometime. So you want to try and break my credibility, but you can't do anything with the information that I have put out. I'm not going to engage in that nonsense. I block them and shut it down and keep rolling. And that's what we're going to continue to do. It's nonsense to me. I don't have time for it and will not engage in it. I'm almost 50 years old. 2 months, I'll be 49. Time to play with no little 31 or 32-year-old. I don't have time for those games and will not play them. Not on Facebook with somebody I never met. That's childish. We don't have time for that. So tonight, we deal with the colonial misconceptions. And the history is there. You got to dig into the archives. And what you will find is not what was in the history books when you were taught in school. Look in the Methodism of Georgia, of Alabama, and you will find in the 1700s, there were 27,000 free colored people in Georgia. 18,000 free in Alabama. Well, how so? Wasn't everybody enslaved? Not according to the Methodist Church, because those churches are religious corporations that were chartered with the colony. Or that state and became free society. Got to understand this history. Got to understand the history why the AME church, and out of the AME church came the CME church. Well, if you got an African of Memphis, why do you need a colored Memphis? Aren't they the same people? Why did they split? You better find many other people wanting to embrace their dual heritage because they were more Indian than African. I'm not in Africa. I'm here in America. My mother is Native. My father may be African. This is what was going on at that time that brought about a division in that church. Gotta understand it. Gotta understand. Doing Indian removal, they use the church. These Southern Baptists and these Southern Methodist Conference had a lot to do with Indian removal and the Civil War. Go and research the records of it. See? You got to get hungry for history and find the core and find the root of the situation. And when you find those things, those are no more than other avenues. Even your Masonic lodges gave refuge to people. Masonic lodges played a great role in the Underground Railroad, but they don't tell you that in the history books. They don't tell you how deep the Mason was in their secret society of bringing people out to freedom. But you better understand one thing. The Underground Railroad didn't also go north. It went south to Spanish Florida. So don't think if you're in Georgia and South Carolina, your folks are going to take the time to run up to Massachusetts when they can just go right down to Florida 150 miles. You got to understand this history. Because you've been lied to. The worst thing someone can do with history is to tell you a half-truth. Makes lies with truth. That is the worst thing they can do. A lie with the truth. Because you don't know what to believe. So when you come across that information, you got to now dissect. Because you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You gotta understand them. So take time. Start studying. Many people in this country that are so-called African American today did not descend from slavery. They can go 300 years or 350 years all the way back to the Spanish invasion. They never were slaves here. They were free. You got to understand terminology. But they tell you, you got to be very careful when you hear this. The first United States census was taken in 1790. Okay, that's after the American Revolution. You think before these 13 colonies split from the British, they didn't have a census of people? They didn't call it census. They call it memorials. You'll find one from the French in 1705. You got to understand the terminology going on here, how to find these things. You think the Spanish didn't have census of people? But the way they give you the American history, you just totally omit it. I'm telling you, don't omit it. Because it might tie to you. These things are very important. Very important. When you understand the signs of the times, you understand how to identify your people. Plantation owner had to be accountable. He had to pay taxes on these people. and the mixed blood, the half blood, the quarter blood, all of that dealt with price. See, before they were talking about a full-blood Indian, they were talking about a full-blood Negro. See, all of that concept derives from that. All you got to do is go back and look at the law. See? You study these laws, you will have no problem. They created villages and communities of people. Just like Germantown, Chinese town, Irish town, Scottish town. You had towns of people of mixed heritage. Nothing but Indian and African people of mixed blood in one little section. Or Indian and Chinese people of mixed blood, one section. Or pure Indian people in one section. Or somebody who came in along with the Spanish who was African. They married Indian. So you got that one grandfather that's an African. And 300 years later, everybody else is native. You still, they are still charging you with that one drop blood rule. So you got to understand the mechanics of these things. See? I question things. My father told me to question. When my father always told me, son, why is it that every 35 or 40 years, the identity of the Negro in this country changes? Because all of them are not Negroes. You done went from colored to Negro to black. The 1985 African American, what are they coming out with? When all, every other people, white people have always been white and German, or Scottish and Irish, or Italian. But you change. You need to look into your history, because that is a fruit cartel of people who not all descend from Africa. And if they did descend from that, what time frame? 1,000 years ago? 10,000 years ago? 50,000 years ago? I'm not going to deal with that much time. I'm going to deal with 500 to 700 years in this deal right here in America. These things you got to understand. Why is your identity constantly changing and nobody else has changed? That's an aha moment. That's a moment you need to lay down in your sleep tonight and think on. See? But then at the same time, you need to get into your ancestry of your genealogy and the anthropology of your people. Don't follow the norm. Following somebody else's story, because somebody else's story may not apply to you. That's their story. Don't apply to you. I don't care if you was in the same neighborhood. You may not be of those people next door. You got to identify with what applies to you. Got to understand these things. Many people don't know how to embrace their multi-heritage and will just deny certain things. Well, that's what you choose to do. Many of these cats just on Facebook, and they're the only Indian in their family and everybody else black or everybody else white. You got to be careful with who you listen to. That is a fact. I lived this journey. My family lived this journey. Our church lived this journey. I just happened to be the keeper of the flame because my mama gave it to me. You got to be careful with people out there who will steal your heritage and try to make you something you are not. Oh, yeah, they're heritage stealers. Plenty of them. Put all your family trees up. Won't do it. Because you don't know how they did their research. You don't know if it's accurate. Let me get your tree. You're going to get somebody else's tree and put 200-300 people on it. You don't even know where they descend from. And especially if they don't know the law. Not knowing the law can throw off a whole family line of 200 people, especially when a mulatto or a musty come to play. And don't sit there and think, oh, we got slanted eyes. We ain't Chinese. You better check again. Chinese slaves was in this country, and they came on those slave ships. One came by means of the Filipinos. The other came by means of the Africans. They were on those ships. So many of you go out and take these DNA tests and some South Asian shows up in your origin. Because the Chinese in your family. Just because you don't see Wang Chong. Because he converted to Christianity in the 1700s. And took a name David, Paul, John, or Willie. But he's Chinese. South Carolina classified the Chinese as colored and black. So did Mississippi and Alabama. All you got to do is go read the archives. It's in there. So don't assume you're walking around here today and look like you come from China. Skin is brown, but no, that's just the way we look. No, you have Asian in your family. And if you come out looking like one, if you got more Asian in you than you do African. Because you're going by the color and not by the features. You need to get away from color and look at features, because a whole bunch of Chinese were breeders. Five Chinese men in a plantation, they impregnate 300 women. So that's what they designed them to do. Well, Chief, where did you get that? Go and read the breeding records. You find these things. You got to start taking the initiative and get a hunger for learning. Get a hunger for knowledge of knowing who you are. Because once you find who you are, you will find a cure for your sickness, your ailments, your diseases, your behaviors. See? I'm going to get spiritual right here for a minute. Behaviorism. Your behavior is a frequency. It's a vibration. That's why they give certain medications to turn that vibration or that frequency down. Your personality is a frequency. It is a vibration. Somebody's in conflict with you, you will say, I ain't feeling their vibe. You have to start looking at life from a spiritual perspective and not a religious perspective. These things are crucial. You have to look at the behavior traits of your family. If you study it and study the habits, they will tell you who your people are because it's in their blood. You just have to identify with it, which many people don't do. Got to understand these things. Don't use slavery for an excuse not to find your people, because there are slaves in this country that was married and traveling around with their slave papers and their masters. They had mobility freedom because not all slaves were picking cotton. You had slave doctors, slave nurses, slave accountants. You even had slaves as bankers. You know, T. Langley, I never had to go and read the archives. archives of some of these cities, these colonial communities, where the municipalities owned slaves. Now, I've been digging in this deep for 15 years. You got to understand these things. These things are crucial, and they're very, very important. You got to learn how to identify people. What is the mezzo community? What is the mustard community? What are they talking about? Because when you deal with a certain time frame, you got to go identify your people from that. You got to look at the transitional time, how you change. Just like that Negro done went from colored, the black, the African-American. That musty, which was a native, a mix of African and black, with one black ancestor and three Indian ancestors, that musty later became Negro, then later became colored, then later become black. You have to study these ethnic identities according to timeline. Because the word they were using in the 1700s, they wasn't using in the 1800s, and they didn't use it prior in the 1600s. You got to understand that different decades of different colonialism. Spanish didn't use the term the English used. Well, some of the English took words from the Spanish. But then they changed it. Many of you, like I, grew up thinking Sambo had something to do with black. And Sambo have to do with a Negro and an Indian woman calling to the Spanish. That's a different person. Yes, he has African in it, but he's an admixture of two different races, Indian and African. He's different. But they give you the whole black Sambo. And I read in the archives a musty Sambo, a light Sambo, a dark Sambo, brown musty, light musty, dark mulatto, light mulatto. Because mulatto's not dealing, these things are not dealing with color. They're dealing with the anesthetic of that person. And that's what you got to understand. It's crucial and it's very important. So tonight, we're dealing with misconception. And as I continue to lecture to you, misconceptions. Understand these laws. Know when they apply helps you find your people. Don't expect to get a lot of results out of some of these white genealogists. Because what concerns you may not concern them. They're going to see it in their eyes only. Don't apply. They don't want to go dig because a lot of them, that consciousness ain't going to allow them to deal with that history. Because they are a member of these organizations. Same thing with a lot of blacks. A lot of black people who are genealogists are pathetic historians. They don't study the history. They don't study it from a, oh, no, I don't want to deal with that. Well, I ain't never read, well, you need to go dig in. Well, it really doesn't matter because we don't go back that far. Well, why are you a genealogist? I heard a well-known geologist say, mulatto has never been a law to describe an Indian. Well, apparently she didn't read the Virginia laws and she come from Virginia. The life of some of these people who don't, I like shaking it up. I'm going to continue to shake it up. The more I find, the more I will put out and give to you. These things are very important. Because when you understand the history of what is, I believe it's a cure for misunderstanding. It's a cure for ignorance. And it is a cure for racism. Knowing what is Yeah, crucial. So now I'm going into the second hour and I'm going to take some phone calls. So give me a second here. And I will start with caller 205. You have any questions?
Can you hear me now, Chief?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi. No, I'm just listening. I'm enjoying the show, and I am just listening. So I'm going to put myself back on mute.
Okay, then. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. 618?
Yeah, that's me. I'm just listening to it.
You don't have any questions?
I do have a lot of questions, though. Cause my
help
last
yourself.
Name
Go Carey. Ahead.
My last name is Carey, spelled C-A-R-Y. My first name is
Uh-huh.
Rick.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know, like, because I know it's a Carey, North Carolina, and I know but I don't want to get to the tedious, like you say, study like Spanish and like the law. But I study like numbers and numerology, and that shit just bothers my mind a lot too. I don't mean to curse, but
okay.
I see that's a lot. I see like a lot of letters be mixed up as well, especially like old English script.
That only deals with certain time frame.
Yeah.
If you start studying what's in the colonial archives as it deals with the colonies, you're not going to run into a lot of those old numbers. You're going to run into some old English. A lot of times, old English with Spanish doctrines. If you're going to take this genealogy journey, you're going to need to sit down and study laws according to timelines and colonies. When you do that, it is very easy for you to find and locate your people. If you do not study them and go on this journey without knowing laws, identifying maps, and community, you're going to be lost as hell. You don't have to pay thousands of dollars. You need to study the history. And once you study the history, you will find what the signs of the times are. That's the best advice I can give you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Chief. I'm really enjoying the show as always, and you have so much powerful information. I have a question about, you know, as far as chartered land. The same laws that apply to chartered land, would that be the same as applied to now, like certain different type of religious organizations?
Do you know what chartered land is?
Well, that's my question to you.
That's a colony.
Oh. Okay. Colony.
South Carolina is chartered land. Georgia is chartered land. Alabama is chartered land. Florida is chartered land. North Carolina is chartered land. Virginia is chartered land. Washington, D.C. is chartered land. Maryland is chartered land. So forth and so on.
Colony land. Okay. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Well, as I said before, take your time. Start studying the laws would be first. And as you study the laws of that area, look at the maps and work your way back, then up with maps. Because slavery was a gross national product. Study the laws of slavery. Study the slave codes. Study the Negro Law of South Carolina. Study the Virginia Act of 1740. If you in Jamaica, study the assemblies, then you find who your people are. You don't need DNA tests to identify you with a community. What you need to do is go study the area that your family descend from. And you will find out that many of those people never left, but they reclassified the name of who the people are, as well as changed the name of the town. That is crucial and very important. You get that one, you have a safe journey. Do not waste your time with no confusion. No Africans came over here. Because they did. Well, I ain't see no ship. They are there. Cargo ships. Merchant ships. If you got cows on the ship, it's a cow ship. You got passengers on the ship, it's a passenger ship. You got farm equipment on the ship? It's a farm equipment ship. I hope I just made myself clear. Learn. When you do, you'll have a safe journey. Anybody else don't have any questions? We're going to end this call tonight. I really enjoyed lecturing to you. I always do. Because it makes me feel good of what my ancestors, my parents, left. And now I can tell you about and share. So on that note, in our language, in the evening times and afternoon, we say he, tho, hey. And that means good afternoon. And best wishes. So heath or hay, and good night to y'all, and I'll see you later. Bye-bye.